Welcome back to the Michael Lofton Show on Reason and Theology on a Friday. I am going to go through some comments in the comment section and just simply respond to them, a few that I found today, because I think they're very telling. They're very interesting in many ways. It shows that, you know, these days on social media, everybody has an opinion. Everyone has an opinion, but not everybody's opinion is always informed, but people will still let you know their opinion nonetheless. So we're going to take a look at that. I'm looking here in the chat, and Abby says, when he does these, I have to think back to if I said something stupid. No, Abby, I cannot say that I recall any of your comments. None of them are going to make it to today's appearance, so I think you're good. But, by the way, before we start to dive in here, I want to remind you, hit the like button and hit the subscribe button. Help me grow this channel. If you like what you see here at Reason and Theology, you think it's helpful, certainly help me grow the channel by subscribing. Hit the bell for notification, by the way, so you know when I go live, because it is spontaneous often. But that's the way you'll help me grow the channel and reach more people. So certainly go and do that. Also check me out, patreon.com/reasonandtheology, if you want to financially support me. Well, before I go through some of the comments here, I want to actually give a little update here about Ryan Foley. I just saw there was a video about him yesterday where he kind of let us know why he's been MIA for 3 months, and I thought it was an interesting response. For those of y'all who have not been following the Ryan Foley saga here on the channel, he is a TikToker, has over 300,000 followers on TikTok, and he is a very bombastic figure who goes into Catholic churches and other places, busts in there, rushes Catholic pulpits, starts preaching heresy from them, presumes to speak on behalf of God, and calls everybody out for sins and all kinds of stuff, goes into people's houses, goes into people's stores, and just has a very off-putting approach, goes into schools, high school, all kinds of wild stuff. And then he had these odd videos where he starts talking and confessing some of his sins, which were, I'm not going to repeat them here. After he made this public confession, he just kind of, you know, went MIA, took down all of his videos from TikTok. And I thought, well, gosh, what happened? Maybe God is convicting him. And I sure hope that he eventually sheds the anti-Catholicism and becomes Catholic, because I really think that it would help him, especially the sacrament of confession. I think it will give him the healing that he needs, because he's clearly looking for some healing for some of his attachments and some of his sins. And he would find that in the confessional, and he would find it very soothing. Unfortunately, right now, he's so anti-Catholic, he's not going to consider it. But I'm hoping God is doing a work with him, and that he slowly over time will see the folly of being anti-Catholic, and we'll see how he actually needs the Catholic Church. But be that as it may, we did get an update. He just posted one video now on his TikTok that I want to take a look at it. And it's, I don't know, relatively encouraging in a qualified way. But hey, maybe God's going to do some work with him and is doing work on him. We can certainly pray to that end. Let's watch the video together so we can get an update. I was just asking y'all, does anybody know why Ryan just went MIA? What's going on? And he took down all of his videos. Well, I think this kind of explains it. So let's watch it together. It's only 3 minutes.
Hi, I've been gone for about 3 months. Oh, how the Lord has humbled me. And I would like to share just a brief series of things the Lord has done in my life since I was running around yelling at churches, preaching this and this and this. And I want to share with you what the Lord has shared with me in this 3 month period. Just a couple things. I had about tens of thousands of dollars in my account. That was when I was running on the ministry and I was getting donations. I was exalted to a pastor role, a leader role. all these things. I exalted myself in the ministry to an extreme extent. Financially, I was more stable than I ever had been. And over the period of time, after all the things that I had done, I got humbled beyond measures by the Lord. When Jesus said, "He who exalts himself shall be humbled," he was not kidding. I went from all of that to being homeless, living in my car. This was very recently, having 32 cents in my account and being rejected by every single job, having doors shut on my face, people cutting me off, telling me that I was not allowed to go into their church or even fellowship with their congregation because of all the things that I had been doing. Time and time and time again, people rejecting me running out of money, me living in my car. And so I decided and I came to my senses and I returned home. Came back to my hometown, and I was scrounging for a job so I could make enough money to have somewhere to live. And I finally made enough money to have somewhere to live. Finally, $250. That's what I needed for the deposit. That's it. That's how low I was. And then when I finally...
I feel like there's more to this story, though. I mean, this I don't know. It has tens of thousands of dollars and then just... goes quickly from that to being homeless, doesn't have $250. I feel like we're leaving some things out here, but okay, let's just move forward.
Finally made the money. I was driving down the road and there was a rock the same day, a rock in the road, and I hit the rock and boom, my tire blew up, $65 gone. I cried out to the Lord and I said, "Lord, why? Why did this just happen? I have nothing. Why?" And this is, I cannot be more serious. I opened up my Bible and in Romans chapter 9, this was the exact verse that my eyes laid upon after I asked the Lord that. And it says, why? That's the very first word, why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works.
No, never do this. Never do this. Just because you randomly open up the Bible and think that it's somehow speaking to your situation does not necessarily mean so. We certainly have to look at the context, and that the context of this has absolutely nothing to do with what he's going through here. And this can be dangerous because if you start using the Bible as an eight ball, you know, you could end up going in the wrong direction and interpreting the worst kind of advice and then blaming it on the Bible and blaming it on God and then losing the faith. So I do not recommend that you do this. This is not biblical. This is not Christian. But let's continue.
They stumbled over the stumbling stone. That's what I read after my tire blew up, after I'm crying out to the Lord, why? I don't understand. Because I was pursuing righteousness apart from faith, thinking that that was going to save me. Righteousness. I have to be better. This is what I'm going to preach until I die. Rejecting God's grace, rejecting his mercy, and saying, I'm going to do this. I can do this.
This guy needs the sacraments very badly. Desperately. The sacraments will give you grace. He needs confession. He needs the Eucharist. He needs the healing that comes from Christ Church. Right now, he is still very anti-Catholic, and he is not ready, it would seem, just on the surface of things. It would seem he's not ready to consider the Catholic Church yet, but gosh, I just see the missing piece of the puzzle in his heart, in his life that he needs right now would be perfectly matched with the sacraments. Those would fill that void and give him the healing that he needs. I hope that he ends up finding that solace that you can find in the Catholic Church. I hope he finds it. I don't know if it will be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, more than that. But I really hope he does. And I'm sure he'll look back on all this and say, gosh, you know, I was so wrong for doing this and treating Catholics this way and talking about them this way and disrespecting them this way. And, you know, I'm hoping he'll have that moment of humility and realize the error, and he will turn away from this Protestantism and move to the Catholic Church where he's going to find the healing that he needs. But let's continue a little bit more.
And it took me all the way into my car, sleeping in my car, scrounging together 32 cents, homeless, everything I had gone. Almost everyone I knew, gone. Everything. And here I am. Why? Because I was pursuing a gospel by righteousness and not faith. And then it says right here, but the righteousness based on faith speaks as follows. When we place our faith, just like the two people who prayed, you had the Pharisee who said, look at me, I fast twice a week, I pay tithes, I do this, I do that. And then you had the sinner whose face was to the ground. He said, Lord, don't even look at me. I can't even look at you. Please forgive me. I'm a wicked sinner. Jesus said that man was the one who was justified. Not the religious person who said, I do this, I do this, I do this, I do that. It was the one who had his face to the ground.
But this is no different than what Ryan Foley was saying before when he was running up into Catholic churches and acting like a fool. He was saying the exact same thing then. He was saying this churchianity and religiosity, and he would, that's all false. It's faith alone. He was saying the same thing then. So what really changed here? I'm not seeing a change in his message. He's presenting it as if he's changed his message here. And I don't know. This is what he was saying before. So I'm not really seeing a real change here as far as his perspective, his theology. I don't know. Maybe there's a change in his disposition. Maybe there is more humility here. Maybe it's sincere. It's not an act or so. I don't know. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and say it's sincere. But I'm not seeing any real change to his theology. So I'm a little confused here. He didn't believe in works righteousness before. So what's going on?
To the ground saying, I'm a wicked sinner. That's the kind of faith that I have to have. That's the kind of faith that saves. And from that, as it says in chapter 10, verse 6, righteousness follows as a byproduct. It's not righteousness and then faith. It's faith and then righteousness is produced. That's why Jesus said, abide in me, I in you. He will prune us. He will cut off the strongholds. He will produce righteousness for his name's sake. That's why salvation is as simple as to know the Father in heaven. It's that simple, and for his reputation's sake, he prunes the sin out of our lives. I thought all this time, it's by this, I have to do this, I have to do that. But it's as simple as faith. Faith, where is it? Faith that nails were driven into the hand of Jesus as he was on the cross, and he was hanging by these nails. And as they're saying, prophesy, King of the Jews, prophesy, mocking him, killing him, beating him senseless, and he's gushing blood. They're whipping him in the back, and he's hanging on there. They grab his feet and put his feet together like this, and then drive a nail through his feet, and he's hanging there. Think about that. Skin stretched out, probably ripping his hand in two, and they're mocking him. And on that cross, he says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. That's mercy. That's forgiveness. That's grace. That's the one who saves. That's the one who lived the perfect life. That's how I get to heaven. I place my faith in him, not myself, not my righteousness, not my works. I can't do it lest I boast. I have nothing to boast of. All of my righteousness are filthy rags. So I place my faith in him who did it on the cross and said, it is finished.
This is what he was saying before. This is no different than now. So why get worked up? Why say this as if this is a new revelation when this is no different than what he was saying before? I don't know. Again, I'm not trying to say, oh, for sure he's insincere or something like that, or this is an act. I don't know his heart. I can't read his intentions. I can't read his motives. All I can go with is just the external. And I'm going to avoid rash judgment. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. But I do have some questions here. I do see some red flags here. I would like to maybe see some answers to those questions and resolution to these red flags, because I'm getting the impression that this is really no different than before. So what has changed, and why the passion? Why come around now and talk about how you've been homeless and you lost tens of thousands of dollars without explaining what happened in the meantime, and then come with a message of humility and it's all about God and I don't have any righteousness? And why, when this is no different than what you were saying before, what really changed here? I don't know. I just have a lot of questions.
That is the stumbling stone, and the byproduct is righteousness. And so that is what the Lord has revealed to me since I have been home. I apologize for my zeal to get this message off. It has been quite a process. And the Lord, Jesus is good. He is good, but he is our only salvation. And he'll produce his righteousness. He'll produce the good fruit. Not us. We can't do that. We have to change it in here before we can change it out here. I was going to get a car wash when I got back into town, and I heard an audible voice said, do not wash the outside of that car before the inside of that car is clean. So I did exactly that. I cleaned the inside of that my car. I parked my car outside the house. An hour later, it rained, and it washed the car clean on the exterior. Wow. When we place our faith.
Just some advice that doesn't really work. When it rains, it doesn't really clean your car. Just FYI, I can tell you from personal experience, you still need to go to the car wash. Just letting you know.
Faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, he will wash the exterior of the car. He will prune us, and we will mature in our faith. But it all starts with that faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, crucified on that cross, buried and rose on the third day, the Son of God. And that is where my faith lies from now on until the end of these days when he returns to come take his children. And I pray earnestly that we know the Father like Jesus knew the Father, and he was one. Salvation.
My goodness, what is going on? All of a sudden he's drenched in sweat. What happened? Okay, maybe he was sweating before. Maybe it's just really hot in the vehicle and the AC wasn't turned on. But I just all of a sudden I'm seeing him drenched in sweat, and I don't know, that just threw me off. Anyways, well, you know, I wish him the best. I truly hope that God is working on him and is going to bring him to the Catholic Church, because that is what he desperately needs right now. He needs the Catholic Church and the sacraments. You may not be ready to hear that, but I'm hoping over time, you know, God's going to chip away at his biases slowly and surely, and over time he'll then have an open heart to hear it, and he'll find the healing that he needs in the Catholic Church, because I can tell you this right now, he needs that healing, and he is not going to find it outside of the sacramental system. He's going to continue to struggle with the issues he's struggling with, and he's going to continue to doubt himself and all kinds of things. And that's unfortunate. So again, I wish him the best, really do. It's kind of sad to see this. All right, let's shift gears to something with some levity here, since that's kind of a more of a sobering thing to watch. Let's shift to the comments. Okay, let's go to a few of these. This one I just said, you know what, I this has to be number one. This has to be it. So I did some kind of video, and this person responds and says, please explain how a pope is biblical. Okay. Please don't tell me how Paul was the first saint/pope. How is supporting things God hates biblical? Well, my concern here is that, well, if you think that Catholics are saying that Paul was the first pope and even the first saint, you're not in a position to know what God hates and what God loves. And you're not in a position to evaluate Catholicism, because no Catholic has ever said that Paul was the first pope or even the first saint. This has never happened. That has never happened, right? I mean, the obvious claim is that Peter was the first pope. Nobody, to my knowledge, has ever said Paul. Now, maybe this is just, you know, a slip of the tongue kind of thing. It happens. It happens, right? But unfortunately, no, this wasn't a slip of the tongue. I said no Catholic has ever said that Paul is the first pope, hoping that he would realize, oh, I made a mistake. Sorry about that. Let me correct that. And he unfortunately doesn't realize the mistake. He follows up and says, go ahead and do a simple Google search, my brother. Not trying to insult your intelligence. So he doubles down like, no, this is not a slip of the tongue. He really is under the impression that Catholics are saying Paul is the first pope. To which, again, I say, if that is your level of understanding of Catholicism, you're not in a position to evaluate it at all. And so what would be better would be to just simply ask a question and leave off the comments like, you know, God hates this. It is completely unbiblical. Leave that stuff out and just say, hey, can you give me any support for Paul being the first pope? And I would just simply say, no Catholic has ever said that. And you would simply say, okay, well, that's the answer to my question. Thank you. And you would keep it moving. But unfortunately, people don't just simply ask questions when they're ignorant. They want to double down on their ignorance and just make it look like they know what they're talking about when they don't. Again, everybody has an opinion, even when their opinion is worthless. And I grant everybody does have an opinion, but not everybody's opinion is valuable. Not everybody's opinion matters. Some people's opinion is worthless. I'll give you an example. My opinion about the latest advancements in neuroscience is useless. You know why? Because I know nothing about neuroscience. Nothing. Nothing. I barely know the word, let alone when I know anything about the latest advancements in neuroscience. It's just not happening. It's not my area. Don't know anything about it. You won't catch me making any comments beyond my admission to ignorance here about it. That's it. It's not going to happen. You definitely won't find me going to a neurosurgeon and attempting to correct him and shame him or make him look stupid when I have no idea what I'm talking about. If I have a question, I'll just simply ask a question. I won't try to make the neurosurgeon look like an idiot or something like that, right? And that would be my advice to people. If you're ignorant about the claims of the Catholic Church, that's fine. Look, I used to not even know that there was a Catholic Church. Didn't even know what Catholic Church was, never heard of it. Didn't know what a pope was, never heard of a pope. Believe me, I had to start from zero knowledge. I get it. I understand that. It's fine to not know anything about Catholicism and to just ask questions. It's legit. That's kind of what, you know, we're here to do is answer questions. Perfectly fine. But just keep it to that. Don't try to act like you know what you're talking about and shame Catholics when you're not in a position to evaluate Catholicism. That's all I'm saying. Just be humble. Keep it humble. And yeah, but that didn't happen here. He tells me to go ahead and do a simple Google search. Not trying to insult my intelligence, but evidently I'm just completely uninformed. Catholics are saying that Paul was the first pope. And I just said, you're killing me now. You're just killing me. Smiley face. And he responds back and says, I hear you. It's just a deception, right? So he's tripling down. It's just like, okay, maybe he's just trolling me. Maybe this is just a joke. No, he wasn't trolling. I said, you still haven't figured it out. Surely you are joking and just trolling. If so, I raise a toast to you. In other words, if this was trolling, well done, sir. This made my day. This was the best trolling ever. Unfortunately, it wasn't trolling. He was serious. And there were people in the chat correcting him and saying it's Peter. And I was saying, no, do not correct him. Do not correct him. Because I had already corrected him. He didn't get it, so he didn't. No, don't correct him. I want to see where this leads. I need to know how far this rabbit hole goes. I need to know what's at the end of the tunnel here, okay? This is an experiment, okay? I want to see how far this is going to go before he realizes the mistake. And finally, after like, I don't know, 6 or 7 hours, he realizes the mistake and says, okay, overlook that detail due to being focused on the question of authority since it simply doesn't change my point. Thank you. Catholic Church mainstream claims they have authority to forgiveness and blessings and so on. To which I just simply note, if you don't have that detail correct, I can absolutely guarantee you are not in a position to evaluate the claims of the papacy, let alone to say things like God hates it. And it wasn't just a slip of the tongue or something. I corrected you on it, and you insisted that I Google it. Just try to have a little more humility next time because you started out saying God hates Catholicism and you don't know what you're talking about. So I think that this should be a lesson for us all. It's a lesson that I had to learn the hard way because I've done these things before, right? Speak outside of my knowledge, think that the other people don't know what they're talking about, ridicule their position, and then I get humbled and realize, oh, wow, there was a lot that I didn't know about here, a lot that I didn't consider. And I just, unfortunately, I've made that mistake so many times that I finally learned from it. Unfortunately, I did not learn from it the first time. I had to make that mistake a lot of times before I finally got, okay, I need to be a little less assertive in the future. Unless I just absolutely know what I'm talking about for sure, I'm going to be less assertive and I'm just going to ask questions. I'm just going to limit myself to asking questions. Like if somebody says something that sounds wild, I'll just say, hey, so how does that work out with this verse? Or how does that work out with this or that? Or what this Pope said or what this church father said? And just ask a question. And in a lot of cases, you'll find out that, well, there's just simply information that you haven't taken into account. So this is something that we should be learning. And let's learn from the mistake of others rather than learning that mistake for ourselves through foolishness. Because, again, I unfortunately did not learn from the mistake of others. I just had to make the mistake over and over and fall flat on my face and realize how ignorant I am before I said, okay, I can't keep doing this and making the same mistake. What's worse, though? That's even worse. Is it wasn't just him. It wasn't just him. Others started to chime in too, and they were going with it, and they weren't trolling. They were going with it. The idea that Catholics are saying that Paul is the first pope. I'm not kidding you. Let me show you another comment here. Let's see. Let me open up this one here. Share my screen so you can see it. This one was really eye-opening to me because it showed me that, okay, it wasn't just one person who was mistaken. It's a handful of people. And it just makes me wonder, gosh, what is going on? We seem to all think we're experts and we're all willing to chime in and offer our opinion, even when our opinion is worthless. Somebody says, I'm not Catholic, but I took a class on Christian heritage. And from my understanding, it's not that Catholics are saying that Paul was the first Catholic pope. And I thought, oh, good. Finally, somebody knows that, hey, that's not the case. No. They are saying that Paul was the first pope. So we're not saying he was the first Catholic pope. We're just simply saying that Paul was the first pope. No, you failed. No, we're not saying that either. Epic fail. Stop it. No. Just stop. The first teacher of Christianity on a large scale, Paul was their inspiration, for lack of a better term, for what their pipes should be like. No. But it didn't stop there. It did not stop there. I thought, surely it's going to end here. No. More people chimed in. And now this person chimes in and wants to chide and critique Catholics were saying that Paul is the first pope when that's not what we're saying. But this person says Catholics got it all wrong. Why in the world would you Catholics think that Paul the apostle was the first pope? Is that a new idea or an old one? You guys really need to seek God during your prayer time. Any breakthroughs lately at all? Stop parading Mary and worship of her. Worship Jesus and believe on him. He's the one that suffered and died for our sin, not Mary. Of course, we love her because God chose her to give birth to Jesus, but we are not to worship her as the mother of God. Oh, goodness. Reinventing Christological heresies. Stop it. And to elevate her above God, worship and praise the Lord and his beautiful spirit. Get back to the Bible, own one. The arrogance from some people who are incredibly ignorant is profound. I could do an entire show responding to every single bit here, but I'll just simply say, I cannot believe that anybody just took this as gospel truth, that Catholics are saying that Paul was the first pope, and ran with it. just ran with it. It just went on a tantrum and then reinvented Christological heresies right in front of us. All in the process of rebuking us for false teachings. What do you say to that? That level of ignorance. I totally have no problem with somebody who's just ignorant and they don't understand why we call the Virgin Mary the Mother of God, or and they just ask sincere questions. That's fine. Everybody's been there. We've all been there. None of us are born with this knowledge. We have to learn. It's a process. I totally get it. But the arrogance in the process and trying to make Catholics look stupid in the process, when in reality, people are just doing that to themselves. They're just making themselves look foolish. This is why my advice is, in an area that you're not really sure about, don't try to ridicule people. Just simply limit yourself to asking questions. That's fine. Asking a question is fine. Another thing that I'd bring up, even like with the rad trads, I have no problem with somebody asking a question like, hey, I have some concerns about Pope Francis. Like, how do you explain the Pachamama thing? Or I have some concerns about Pope Francis. How do you explain this issue with the Senate? I have no problem with somebody asking those questions in good faith. That's fine. Those are legitimate questions. I have a problem with somebody saying Pope Francis is an idolater. Pope Francis is a heretic. He's a this and he's a that, and slandering him and jumping to conclusions. Instead of just saying, hey, I don't understand this. Can you please explain how this fits with the Catholic paradigm? Can you explain that to me? Are you able to resolve that? You know, I have the time of day for that kind of person who just asks a question. I don't have the time of day for anybody who just wants to slander, jump to conclusions, engage in rash judgment, and then try to make others look stupid when in reality, they're just showing themselves to be incredibly ignorant. So that's just kind of a word of advice for the comment section. If you dare to comment in the future. Let's see. All right, let me go to another one here. This person says, all these modernists get happy because they think this is a slap on the face to trads. Shaking my heads. Because he did add a Z at the end of there. I've never seen that before. I've always seen SMH, shaking my head, but I've never seen SMHZ, which would be, I guess, the plural, the slang plural of heads. So I guess this person, I don't know. I don't know what's going on there. this was on the video short that I did, Exorcist, on whether Latin is more effective than exorcisms. And yes, I have heard many people say Latin is more effective than in exorcisms, to which this world-renowned expert and Vatican-approved exorcist says, no, that is not the case. And so it does hit. It does target a lot of people in the Rad Trad community who hold to this position. And so the exorcist here is slapping them in the face in a very nice way. But he says, all these modernists get happy. As I've said before, 99.9% of the time, anybody who uses the term modernist doesn't know what it is. They could not define it for the life of them. Could not do it. They equate modernism with anything that sounds non-traditional to me. If it sounds non-traditional to me, it's modernist. Modernist. Stop. No. No. Do some more research. You know who actually had some really good lectures on what modernism is versus what it's not? William Marshner, way back in the day on Institute of Catholic Culture, had some really good lectures on that. I don't know if they're still available, but certainly check them out if they aren't. Let's go to another one here. Let's see what else we got. AC here. Open up. Nope, I did that one already. Okay, let me go to this one. All right, sharing my screen so you can see it. I think this is from an Eastern Orthodox commenter. And commenter says, I'm sorry, I've never heard any Christian under any sect ever tell me that God hates Catholics. Either you met a weirdo, or you're the weirdo making a weird straw man about a fictional person. Yeah, I'm just making it up, even though I'm literally providing the screenshots where a person actually said that. But I'm a weirdo making it up. That's a possibility here completely. Sure. Pushing that ridiculousness to the side. My advice is don't jump to these wild conclusions. Actually, this is not an unusual claim. Not an unusual claim at all. I've heard it often. Something to the effect of God hates Catholicism. That's pretty common. There's some really anti-Catholic Protestants out there. Not all. Not all Protestants. There's plenty of them. Me saying that somebody mentioned that God hates Catholic, that's not unusual. Where you been? You have to be living under a rock. You have to be incredibly poorly informed. But it gets better. It gets so much better. By the way, the Orthodox Church is always open and ready to receive you when you are ready. Well, I've already been down that route. I'm a former Eastern Orthodox. I consider myself Orthodox in communion with Rome, so there's nothing for me to return to. But, okay. Go to the Orthodox Church that's always open and ready to receive me. Well, I said, actually, this is pretty common among Protestants and even some Orthodox. Like, if you're Orthodox, where you been? You haven't been listening to not only the guys online who are Eastern Orthodox, but just some of your figures historically. You haven't been reading them? They'll say way more than God hates Catholicism. They'll say way more than that. That it's satanic, that it's demonic, it's the crown jewel of Satanism. I mean, just everything. In response, the individual says, well, most people can call themselves something and then not follow or believe the thing they claim to believe. There's a lot of Eastern Orthodox saints who have said some atrocious things about the Catholic Church. Are we saying that they're not really Eastern Orthodox? I mean, maybe that's your claim. I don't know how you're going to defend that claim, however, with your fellow Orthodox friends. But he says, but you can say the same thing about Catholics, but I still have never heard anyone say God hates Catholics. Wow. Of all the things to get hung up on, too. Wow. All right. Ignorance is rampant. Look at this one. I see this all the time. This one is from Protestants, okay? No one is righteous in the eyes of God. No, not even one. Romans 3, 10 through 12. And then they quote Psalm 53 as well. And by the way, Romans 3, 10 through 12 also borrows from Psalm 14. Here's another perfect example of how Protestants don't know the Bible. They will just say all the time, no one does good, no, not one. No one is righteous in the eyes of God, because they're driven by this faith alone issue and an alien righteousness justifying us. And yes, that is a quote from Romans. But again, he's getting that from two places. Psalm 53 and also Psalm 14. Now, what's so interesting is if you actually go and look at Psalm 14, it completely contradicts them. And they don't know that because they never actually look it up. So they read the New Testament, but they never go and read it in the context of the Old Testament in order to kind of properly situate what Paul is saying. I have no problem with what Paul is saying. But Paul needs to be understood in context, and they don't do that. They rip it right out of context. They impose their human traditions onto the text and thus nullify the word of God because of their human traditions. And they don't even read the scriptures in their context. Let's go to Psalm 14, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about here. I'm going to pull it up. Let's see. Should be able to see it right about... Now, again, Romans 3 is partly quoting from Psalm 14, which is not long. So let's just read the whole thing. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do all abominable deeds. There is none who does good. And by the way, the nun who does good is in the context of atheists. Okay. Not every single human being. The Lord looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, no, not one. Now, in this context, you see a more general statement. God's looking down on the children of man, and there's no one who does good, no, not one. Doesn't that prove what Paul was saying? Just read the rest. Have they no knowledge, all the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? There they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteousness. Wait, what? I'm sorry. There they are in great terror, for God is with the generation of the righteous. Huh? Wait, righteous? What? I thought nobody was righteous. This commenter told me nobody is righteous in the eyes of God, Romans 3, which points me back to Psalm 14. And Psalm 14 is now contrasting those who don't do good with the righteous. So there clearly are righteous, and then there are unrighteous. There are two categories here. But what they do is they rip this out of context, and they then impose this human tradition to say, oh, well, everybody is unrighteous in the eyes of God, when literally the context of what Paul is quoting speaks of the righteous and contrasts them with the group that he is saying there's none who does good, no, not one. So obviously what's going on with the psalmist and with Paul is more just kind of a hyperbolic claim. He's not saying literally there's no righteous person out there, because in context, it speaks of righteous people. But here's again where we impose a human tradition on the scriptures, something that we see repeatedly with Protestants, unfortunately. Let me find another one here. Let's see what else we got. Oh, I love this one. This was great. This guy won the internet. He absolutely won the internet. Give him a trophy. It was on the short that I did about T.D. Jakes saying that he was saying, I have a message for you. God told me to tell you, blah, 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 blah. You've heard this phenomenon from some charismatic Protestants. God told me to tell you, fill in the blank, and then they'll insert this message that they came up with. And I love this commentary. He just says, I thought there was only one mediator for Protestants, right? According to Protestants, there's only one mediator between God and man. But evidently, they do have multiple mediators now. Evidently, T.D. Jakes, right? Because isn't it a lot of the same people who say, God told me to tell you something, will then say, oh, there's only one mediator between God and man, and you Catholics are wrong to pray to the saints. Not realizing that this kind of undermines their own claim, and also equivocating on mediator, right? That's the heart of the problem. But I thought that one was an interesting one. So this guy won the internet, in my opinion, for today. We're gonna give him a gold star. All right, here's a fun one. So on the one where I was talking about a guy who was claiming that we as Catholics are saying that Paul is the Pope, this person says, Dear Pope Frankie, oh, I'm sorry. No, this was on my video where I mailed a letter to Pope Francis. And so he writes a fake letter, you know, pretending that this is what I wrote to Pope Francis. Dear Pope Frankie, and by the way, notice this guy here clearly has to identify, at least. I don't think he's Catholic, but he identifies as Catholic clearly, because he has on his screen as his little, you know, profile pic, it's a crusader, right? So I'm pretty sure he's not a Eastern Orthodox, right? It's a Latin crusader. Pretty sure he's not Eastern Orthodox. Pretty sure he's not Protestant. You know, pretty sure he's not Anglican, you know. Dear Pope Frankie, I am a sheep and a heretic just like you. You can do and say whatever you want, and I will make excuses for you, even if people are leaving the church in droves. I agree those traditional Catholics are the problem, not Father James Martin giving the Eucharist to people in grave mortal sin. how delusional can you be? Even though I've over and over, I criticize Pope Francis. I don't make excuses for those things that he does that are wrong. And I literally criticize Father James Martin more than probably most other YouTubers. Giving the Eucharist to people in grave mortal sin without repenting, telling them to be themselves. It's those traditional Catholics. P.S. I am delusional. Signed by the biggest useful idiot and apologist for you, Michael. I have a picture of my bed of you. I have a picture of my bed of you. I'm sorry. Yeah, that's what he said. I have a picture of my bed of you. Like my grandmother would have Jesus. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah, you're totally going to win people over to your side. You totally are making the radical traditionalists look really good right now. Keep it up. You're not at all vindicating me and what I've been saying all along on my channel. Oh, boy. Anyways, that's going to do it. I got to get to Catholic Answers. I'm going to be on there in just a few minutes, 8 minutes, in fact. So I got to head out. We're going to have to end the stream early. I had a few more. Maybe we'll get to them next time, but I'm going to be on Catholic Answers Live here in just a few minutes. Y'all certainly can stay tuned and check me out there on their channel if you want to see it. So see y'all in just a little bit. And again, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, comment. That all helps with the algorithm. So this can be presented to more people on YouTube. So if you believe in the channel, you appreciate it. Certainly do that. Also check me out, patreon.com/reasonandtheology. We'll see you later. God bless.